well, we thought that our series on crushing anxiety was only going to be 2 weeks long. But as Pastor Sergio and I began to talk and pray about where the Lord was taking us, man, it was actually Pastor Sergio that really pressed me and said, "Pastor Tim, I think we need one more message on this." And it's kind of like, you know, when you're listening to an album or whatever, and all of a sudden you realize that there is this hidden track, right? This bonus track that is on that album. You go, "Yeah, this is so cool. This may be my favorite song." And I didn't even know it was on the album. So here we go. Today we have a bonus track message on our Crushing Anxiety series. Because what was in Pastor Sergio's heart, and as soon as he began to talk to me about it, I thought, you know what, I really believe this is important. Because we've been talking about mental health. And we've been talking about that God cares for our mental health. Because he cares for people. So he cares about all that's going on in our lives. And we specifically addressed the issue of anxiety over the last couple of messages in this series. And you can go back on the podcast and listen to those. I think they were strong. They were helpful. Many people responded saying, "Man, thank you for addressing this really important issue." Because they said, "Man, these things are going on in my life, in our family." But what we didn't really talk about was anxiety's ugly twin, depression. And depression is often hand in hand with anxiety. And so we're going to delve into this topic before we move on from this series. We want to talk about the flip side to anxiety. And I don't know if this is something when you hear that word depression, you go, "Well, maybe this isn't a message for me because I don't feel depressed. I don't get depressed." But these issues are so significant that maybe you're not dealing with this right now. But this could be impacting a spouse, a child, a friend, a coworker. So if you're not dealing with this today, let's just say praise the Lord. Fantastic. Then this message hopefully will be something that will equip you to really come alongside others and help them in their time of need. So what is the difference between anxiety and depression? If you go to that first slide right there, we're just going to go through a few different things about anxiety and depression. Anxiety, and this is what we talked about over the last messages in the series, that anxiety is always future focused. Depression, however, is the opposite. It is always focused on things in the past. So using that kind of car metaphor, anxiety is always looking through the front windshield, okay, stuff that's coming. And depression has to do with looking in the rear view mirror of life at all of the ugliness and pain that we've experienced in our past. Go that next bullet there. This was our definition of anxiety. Anxiety is the torment of anticipation as we face an uncertain future. Now, if you were with us during the series, we went into great detail on that. But it's not just a happy anticipation, like the things that we're looking forward to. It's actually when there's uncertainty about the future and we live in a very uncertain world. All kinds of different things are happening that we're looking at going, "Oh my gosh, where are we headed," right? As a society, as a people, as a family, all these different things. And so there can be this torment of anticipation. But that is different than depression because, again, anxiety is looking forward, but depression has to do with the past. And so let's look at this third bullet and give us a definition for depression. Depression is being overwhelmed by the unresolved loss from our past. It's this sense of being overwhelmed by loss. And not just any loss, but loss that is unresolved. See, because we all experience loss. We'll be talking a little bit about that. But we all experience loss of different kinds. In fact, loss is important in our lives. There are things that need to get lost. And in fact, you cannot transition from one place in your life to another unless you're leaving something behind, right? But how many of you that are in high school say, oh man, that loss of junior high really is hard on me. Man, I wish I could go back to junior high. Anybody in this room, whether you're in high school or you're older, oh man, losing junior high was just one of the worst things. No. Loss is important because we do leave things behind because we transition to that next place. Some of that is fun, some of it's a little more challenging, but loss is an important part of our story. But then there are unresolved parts of our lives, unresolved parts of loss from our past. That if those aren't dealt with Jesus, they can really be overwhelming. And before we move on, it is important to note that what we're talking about with these this kind of depression, the things from our past, there is a different kind of depression that doctors say is biological in nature. That there can be a chemical imbalance that hits people, that trips them up and just sucks the life right out of them. And we pray and we believe for the miraculous, even in biological conditions of depression, amen? Or anxiety or any kind of mental anguish. But what we're talking about today really is not that. It's really we're approaching this from more of that idea of this overwhelming sense of loss in our past that can really take over our lives. Here's a few things that we learned from the American Psychiatric Association. Doctors who study this, they talk about depression this way, and they say depression causes feelings of sadness and or a loss of interest in activities the people once enjoyed. It can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems and can decrease a person's ability to function. And if you've ever dealt with depression personally, you'd say, yeah, check those off the list. I've experienced that deep type of sadness and actually leaving behind things that once were enjoyed as part of my life. I just don't have the motivation, don't have the energy. Sometimes it's hard to get out of bed. There can be fatigue. There can be just this lethargy that comes over us. And that's what they say depression is often symptomatic with. But here's something really interesting that they also tell us. Depression is different than being sad. The grieving process, or just normal sadness, is natural. And it's the way we experience it is unique to each person because we all experience grief and sadness a bit differently. But it does share some of the same characteristics with depression. So sometimes people that are just going through a normal grieving sadness wonder, well, am I depressed? Because there are some similar characteristics. Both grief and depression may involve intense sadness and withdrawal from usual activities. But sadness and depression are different in some significant ways. One difference, and I love this, is that they say that this normal grief or sadness is more like being hit by a wave. Right? Have you ever played in the beach, gone surfing, hung out in the waves? You know that waves come and then the wave is gone, right? You're hit by a wave, but then you get back up again, right? There's a reprieve from that wave hitting you. That's what normal sadness or grief is like. You're hit by the wave, then you get back up again. Depression is different because depression is more like being held under the water. It's more like being overwhelmed by the water, and I feel like I'm drowning, and there is no help in sight. That's a huge difference to help distinguish between, am I just going through normal sadness, or am I going through something that doctors would say, no, that sounds more like depression. And depression doesn't just come and go. In fact, they will not diagnose you with depression unless you have had those overwhelming, drowning feelings for at least 2 weeks sustained. If you kind of like feel bad, but then come out of it, feel bad, come out of it. They say, no, that's pretty normal sadness over these different loss areas in your life. That's normal. Depression is different because it is that sustained, overwhelming feel. As we talked earlier in our series about anxiety, but this really has to do more with just all kinds of mental anguish, there's two things that we saw in 1 Peter chapter 5 that I just want to remind us of as we kind of set up this conversation. One of the things that we saw was to be healthy in all of these areas of our mental health, we have to start with humility. See, pride will always cause us to feel like I can muscle up, suck it up, and I can carry all of this pain on my own. That's what pride tells us. I can't tell anybody about what's really going on because they're going to feel differently about me. They're going to reject me. You know, I was taught to just be strong in myself. And oftentimes that's just pride speaking. And what the Word of God tells us is that God actually lifts up those who are humble, who are learning to walk in humility. Because when we come to that place of humility, we recognize that it is really okay to admit I'm not okay. Amen. It is okay to admit I'm not okay right now. I need help. And that is such an important beginning part to our story of getting free from any of these kinds of mental anguish. The second thing I want to remind us that we looked at in 1 Peter chapter 5 is that when the enemy comes, right, to kill, to steal, to destroy, 1 Peter 5 says he's like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. Immediately it says this, resist him. That we are called to fight. And listen, when it comes to depression, and when we talked about like what they tell us, the sadness and this fatigue and this feeling like I don't have any fight left in me, this is really hard. But God says, do not surrender to those feelings, whether it's anxiety or depression or any other mental anguish. Do not give in. Even when I say that, I recognize that there could be people here that are just feeling like at the end of your rope. As I began to prepare for this series on crushing anxiety, there was a pastor here in Southern California that actually some of the people in our church had received ministry from down in Orange County that took his own life because of significant ongoing depression. And he was a fighter. In fact, he'd even, with his wife, created a ministry to help people dealing with mental anguish and depression. I just want to tell you, I recognize that this is very, very significant and very, very serious. That we don't tread into these waters lightly and just kind of like, hey, we're going to sprinkle some God dust on people and everything's going to be okay. And now, do we believe in faith? Do we believe that God is greater than the issues that we walk in, no matter what they are? Yes, we do. Do we believe that God has come to bring us freedom and that we can learn to walk in wholeness? Yes. But I also want to tell you, as we fight and as we resist the enemy, I believe that one of the strongest things that we can do is get people in our corner to help fight with us. And that could be a doctor, a therapist, a dietitian, or someone else who's walking alongside of us to make sure that we're addressing these things from every different angle. So are we approaching this spiritually? Yes, we are. But when we approach things spiritually, this does not mean putting people like doctors and therapists on the sidelines. And, well, I don't need you. I got Jesus. No, I got Jesus, and I've got people who are in my corner that are helping me learn to fight, to get to root issues of these things, because this is serious and it does claim lives. So you ready to get after this? Yeah. All right. So if non-biological depression comes from unresolved loss in our past, where does all of this loss come from? What are we talking about? It's like maybe you're like, I can't think of a lot of loss in my life, or maybe you can think of a whole lot. But so I just wanted to help jog your memory of areas that people experience loss in their lives. So go ahead and put that slide up. We can experience the loss of relationship. Now, I want to pause right there. This is the only bullet that I'm going to pause on. But I want to pause right there because of how significant this one is. One of the major ways that is impacting our society is through divorce. Approximately 50%, half of all children in America will witness the breakup of a parent's marriage. And 40% of those children today are growing up without a father. I mean, that's unbelievably significant. Because when we look around the room, we're just recognizing, including your pastor right here, that, hey, that number includes me. That my parents broke up. My dad left my mom. A very, very painful part of my life. Even though I was already an adult when it happened, it was still significantly painful. And I think about kids, young kids that are being drugged through this, and we go, oh, there is a lot of loss in our society, and one of the key ways is relationship. Now, obviously, there's a whole lot more loss that happens than just through divorce when it comes to relationship. All kinds of betrayal, hurt, backstabbing. Just you can just kind of go on about just the loss of relationship. People that had best friends that are no longer best friends. There's lots of loss that we walk through in our lives relationally, but that's only one way that we experience loss. There's the loss of health, okay? No one lives forever. Yeah, okay? No one lives forever. Health erodes, and there's that pain of the loss of health. How about the loss of finance? The loss of innocence. The loss of confidence, the loss of trust, the loss of opportunity, the loss of employment, the loss of a sense of purpose in my life, the loss of youthfulness. And everybody here that's over 50 goes, check! The loss of time. The loss of freedom, the loss of sobriety, and the loss of joy. These are just things that as I meditated on all the different kinds of loss, and I could say that probably at some time in my life, I've experienced many of those. We all experience various kinds of loss along the path of our lives. Some of that loss is permanent. Some of it is temporary. Some of it, when we think about, were things that were long ago, and some of that loss was very, very recent. But even loss that was temporary, so to speak, and a long time ago can still be just as painful. And those memories, when we think about our past, can be just as painful as something that was permanent and recent. Just because the way our heart interprets that loss. Have these areas of loss come to a place of resolution and resolve in our lives, or are we carrying some of those things in unresolved ways that are just as painful today, maybe as they were back then? In fact, I believe if we walk with unresolved loss in our lives, that the pain can actually grow over time to that place where it does become overwhelming. Now, while we all do experience loss in our lives, not everyone deals with what doctors call depression. Some seem to have a resiliency that allows them to more float on the sea of loss without getting pulled down by the riptides of despair. What does God's word teach us? What does God's word say that could help us to build that kind of resiliency so even when we get knocked down by a wave of loss, that somehow we can find our feet under us and stand again and not succumb to that despair that would want to overtake us? I believe that there's three ways, and we're going to look at a passage in a moment that's going to help us unpack these three things. But go ahead and put that slide up, because here's the three things that we're going to talk about to resist, to learn to fight depression, to learn to fight this loss in our past, to bring it to resolution so that it does not overwhelm us. Here's the three things we're going to talk about: bringing our needs to Jesus, walking in forgiveness, that's a biggie, and thank God for all that he has done. Are you ready to dive in to these three things? Let's look at this passage. It's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Go ahead and put that up there. This is what Paul writes to the church and says this. He says, don't worry about anything. Okay, let me pause there for a second, because you could be like, all right, this is one of those messages where just like, feel good, we know life sucks, it's hard, but just kind of muscle up and just don't worry about it, right? Don't worry. Be happy, right? Hey, there's the word of God today for you, right? Little Pharrell going on. Is that dude? Yeah, I think he sang that. I don't know who sang that. No, it wasn't Pharrell. Anyway, no, that was the other happy song. Okay, I'm getting my happy songs mixed up. But just don't worry about anything. And here's the beauty of Scripture. Scripture is never trite. It is never like, oh, just get over yourself. Just stop worrying about it, right? But it always helps layer in the truth of the Lord on our lives that helps us to understand what that really means. Can I really get to that place in my life where I do move beyond worry, where I do move beyond this trouble in my life, all of this overwhelming loss from my past? Can I really get there? And God would say, yes, you can. Let me show you how. Because he doesn't stop there saying, don't worry about anything. He says, instead, so let me show you another way. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So, number one, the thing he tells us to do as we're leaving behind worry and the trouble that we've experienced is that we bring our needs to Jesus. He says to pray about everything. That's not just the things that are currently going on in my life, but includes all of my history. So everything that I've experienced, every loss, every point of pain from my past, I can bring that to the Lord too. I can go back to pray for those things. I can retrace my history and pray not only for things going on today, not just like, Lord, bless the food that is in front of me right at this moment. Okay, bless my child as they walk out the door to school today. Those are all good. Those are current. But it says what? It says to pray about everything. So some of this is like getting honest about what everything really looks like in my life. That I need to retrace my steps and go back and say, is there some things in my past that I am still carrying with me today that are yet unresolved? And we can start to own those things so that we can bring them to the Lord and say, God, this is what I am still dealing with even after these years or after these seasons. Pray about everything. Telling God what you need. God, I need freedom in this area. God, I need to move beyond that pain that was inflicted on my life. God, I need to move beyond the bad decisions that I made that ended up creating loss in my life. God, I need to even move beyond just the stuff of life and that sense of loss of youthfulness and purpose and mission and that discouragement that just wants to take over because it feels like my life is over, right? We need to bring those and say, God, help me. And here's the amazing, beautiful truth that if you don't capture anything else this morning, capture this. The reason that we can bring our cares to him is because he absolutely cares for us and he understands. He understands. Jesus was the one who said this, come, come, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. There may not be a scripture in all of the Bible that talks more to those who are dealing with depression than Jesus says, come. I know what you're carrying, but you do not have to carry it alone. You were not built for this. Come, bring all of those things because I will take them and I will give you rest. He cares. But not only does he care, he understands. I want to show you a scripture from the book of Hebrews. As they talk about Jesus, as the author of Hebrews talks about Jesus in verses 17 and 18 of Hebrews 2, the author writes and says this, says, therefore, it is necessary for him, and he's talking about Jesus here, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us. See, we can picture Jesus, right? Oh, that was God. Oh, and yes, you'd be correct about that. That he did not leave behind his divinity. He did not leave behind his being God. But he did something that is very challenging to understand, that God became man. That God actually, in Jesus, took on humanity. Therefore, he became just like us. Like all of the pain that you and I feel, he felt. Right? When he stubbed his toe, it hurt. Right? His papa was a carpenter. Jesus, we believe, followed his dad in that trade. There were times that God smashed his finger. Who did he cry out to? Oh, God. Listen, Jesus was fully God, yet fully man, made in every respect like us. You're tempted, he was tempted. You deal with mental anguish, he had to deal with mental anguish. He was made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Man, we deal with stuff and we wonder, man, is God just hating on me? Like, he just can't, he doesn't get me. That's like God, he's so far away. He's so distant. How would he understand? Because he walked this earth dealing with all of the pain and brokenness. And in fact, could we say that he experienced more pain and more brokenness than you or I? Betrayed, attempted to be murdered many times, and then finally stripped naked, whipped till he was bloodied, and then hung on a cross to die. So that he could be our merciful God. Wow. Then, it says, he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. He had to become one of us and live that sinless life that even though he experienced all these things, he did not sin. He remained true to that God nature within him that says, I will not allow myself to be defiled here on this earth. And because of that, he was able to offer a sacrifice that would take away our sin. And then look at this last statement. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Wow. So listen, so when God's word reminds us that we need to bring our needs to Jesus, bring everything to him in prayer, all of the ugly, all the pain from our past, we're not just saying, oh, just pray about it. As if like, hey, just kind of wash your hands of it, give it to God and be done with it. No, it's like we are bringing our needs, the greatest pain of our lives, to the one who deeply cares and he understands. So there's mercy, there is compassion. Jesus is uniquely suited to be the God whom we would bring our pain to. He cares and he understands. The second thing that we're to do is to walk in forgiveness. So go back to that scripture, to that next slide. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And you go, whoa, I don't see that word forgiveness in there. Pastor Tim, are you putting words in scripture here that we're to learn to walk in forgiveness? Well, let me tell you, there are times you need to read between the lines. And there are times when you need to go beyond just one verse and see what else scripture has to say. But when it says to pray, can I tell you what Jesus had to say about prayer and forgiveness? And if go ahead and put up Mark 11, 25. These were Jesus' words. And when you stand praying, right? What did we just read? Pray about everything. Now Jesus says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. So that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Oh. So when I pray, it is to be a reminder to me that I am to walk in forgiveness every time I come to prayer. So when it said to pray about everything, and we said, hey, we need to be able to retrace our history and go back to those painful times of loss in our lives. And we start praying about those things. God may be reminding us of the very things that we actually need to forgive. Well, wait a second. I was hurt in that circumstance. Now, when my parents' marriage blew up, it was painful. And I know for many of you in this room, it was even more painful. Maybe suffering different kinds of abuse in your life, and you're going, wow, that was such a huge traumatic loss. You're telling me that God is telling me that I need to forgive? Well, let me explain to you for a moment what forgiveness is about. And there's a clue in this scripture here in Mark 11 where it says, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive. Forgiveness literally means, and if you study the words in the Greek language, you kind of pick up on this in a very beautifully intense way. Forgiveness means to let go. To let go. Would you just make fists with me? Would you just make fists? Before we forgive, that's the position that we're in. We are holding on to things. And literally, we have the right to. We do. They hurt me. And we're holding on. And so when we ball up our fists like that, I mean, we're in that posture of like, we are angry. We are ready to like attack. We are ready to, they did this to me. The next time I see them, bam, right? Gonna get the double tap of my love. When we are holding those things, that is a sign that forgiveness has not yet taken place in our lives. Okay, now do this. Forgiveness means letting go. Forgiveness literally means letting go. In fact, the very word, okay, I love doing this. And if you like listen to my teaching, you know I do this. But I looked to see where else that word was used. Do you know that that same word that Jesus used right there is when the disciples were called to Jesus, it says they dropped their nets. Same word. They opened their hands and dropped their nets. It has to do with not holding things any longer, but opening our hands, letting them go, and dropping them like they're hot. Because they are hot. They're nuclear, toxic kind of hot, and when we hold on to them, it is actually poisoning ourselves. The longer we hold on, the more damaging it is to our soul, because that radiation is just eating us up alive. And so Jesus says, when you come to pray, if you're holding things against anyone, let them go. Now, there is another nuance about this word that Jesus used right here when he said to let go. It's actually like he took out a highlighter with this word and said, you need to capture this. Because it isn't just about opening my hands. That's such a gentle little act, right? No, this actually has a deeper definition. That it's not just opening my hands and releasing, it's actually like casting it out. It's like sending it away. It's the same word that's also used, like in that culture, that if a man was to divorce his wife, he would like let her go. But it was literally sending her away. So it's the same word that is found other places talking about divorce. How about this? Jesus is saying, when you come to pray, it is time to divorce yourself from that pain that has been clinging on to you. That unwelcome, ugly thing that is destroying your life, divorce it. I divorce you. You do not belong in my life any longer. I am letting it go. I am giving you a notice of divorce. You are no longer to be part of my life. Yes. Yes. Woo! Yeah. Forgiveness is powerful. And when we have overwhelming, unresolved pain from our past, there is really no way we're going to fully be able to get beyond that until we forgive. And I'm just sorry, because I know that there are so many who deal with traumatic wounds, deep, deep loss. And I don't know exactly what this is going to look like in your life and in your story. I just know that it's possible, because if Jesus said that we could do this, and he said, come to me, and I'm going to help you get there. I'm going to help you find rest. I believe that it is possible. It may take a long time. It may take people walking with you. It may take therapy. It may take different things to be able to open our hands and get rid of it. But that is what we are to do. And I know that in my own story, the freedom that came when I was able to tell my dad, I forgive you. You have caused loss in my life and loss in our family, loss in my mama's life. I hate it. I hate that this happened. But I'm prying my fingers off of it, and I'm handing this over to the Lord. I'm giving it to him to carry. Not me. I can't carry it any longer. I forgive you. Huge relief. that came into my story. So we're to bring all of our need to Jesus. We're to learn to walk in forgiveness. And let's go back to the scripture in Philippians there. And then it says this, that not only are we to tell God what we need, but we're to thank him for all that he has done. Now listen, when we're in pain, that is really difficult to do. But I believe that God is challenging us to take on more of a 360 perspective. 2 weeks ago, if you weren't here, you missed an incredible tool because we talked about crushing the ants. Remember A-N-T-S? Ants. We need to crush the ants. And what we learned that stands for is automatic negative thoughts. Things that just will plague our thinking, and there's a whole bunch of them. Go back and get the message. In fact, if you go back to the podcast, you can even download the handout so you can read about this and have a worksheet to help with. But one of those ants had to do with minimizing. It's an ant. It's a negative, automatic negative thought that we need to learn to crush. And what minimizing has to do is like all of the good things that have happened. Yeah, we minimize those. We kind of like look through the wrong end of the binoculars, remember? And it's like tiny, tiny, tiny. Oh, well, those good things, they don't even count. Those weren't important. We discount the importance of the good things that God has been doing. And we magnify the bad. We magnify those areas of loss without taking into account what God has done. And so here God is reminding us that we can, as scripture tells us, to give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, Lord, I don't know. And even in my own life and the breakup of my mom and dad, and when my dad left, it was just so painful. Began to learn to walk in forgiveness. But now with perspective, I can look back and thank God for what he has done, even in that very painful story. God, I thank you that even with this loss, I see how you have cared for both my mom and my dad over these years. God, I thank you that even in the worst of circumstances, that my mom was able to go and move in with her parents during the most tender time of their lives and to care for them all the way to heaven. She was such an incredible blessing to her mom and dad during those last years of their lives. So God, I thank you for it. And God, I thank you, Lord, for what you have taught me about forgiveness through this. You know, we think we know about something, even preachers, right? Until we walk through things where we have to learn them all over again as if it's the very first time. And I know my story is over the years, as I've been able to share that with different people and unpack that even deeper than what we're going into right now, I know that it has brought freedom in the lives of others. I remember specific places of just standing and just sharing my story and saying, hey, this is what I experienced. Would this help you? And I just like seeing the weight lifted off of people, things that they've carried from their past that would not have been possible if I had not walked through some of that myself. So I say, God, thank you. Lord, thank you for all of it. I don't thank you that it happened, but I thank you for what you have done, which is exactly what God's word tells us. Thank him for all that he has done. Lord, somehow, despite all the pain and anguish, I'm sitting here today. And I'm telling you, sitting here at Santa Maria Four Score Church is better than sitting at the nicest hospital in the world. You could be in a $1 million hospital suite, and I'm telling you, right now is better. Thank God for what you have done. You have brought me here. You have taken me this far. And God, I believe that you have more for me as I move forward. But Lord, I'm going to learn to be thankful. So we move beyond despair. We learn to fight, resist oppression by bringing our needs to Jesus, walking in forgiveness, thanking him for what he has done. And then here's the promise. Then you will experience God's peace. which exceeds anything we can understand. See that? Why is it beyond anything we can understand? Because what we can understand in the natural as human beings is natural peace. But what does it say here? That he is going to give us his peace. We will experience God's peace. Because sometimes we can try, I'm just going to get to my happy place. I'm going to curl up in my hammock. I'm going to slip down into my jacuzzi, right? That's what Kelly's love language is. I'm just going to get into that hot, bubbly, warm space and experience as much peace as I can muster. But that's not what this says. It says that we are going to experience a supernatural peace. God's peace. Thank you, Lord, that you give us your peace. And then it goes on, his peace will guard your hearts and minds. Oh, Lord, thank you that you know me so well. God cares about mental health. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. Last words, as you live in Christ Jesus. So here's how we close. Are you living in Christ? Are you living in him? Have you given him your whole life? Both the past, the present, and the future. Because that's who Jesus is. Jesus, we read, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. Have we given him our whole lives and said, Jesus, all of my life, all of my life, you're my Lord. I give you everything. If that's you today, if you say, man, I need this, this is the place to begin. Because until you've given him your life, does it really make sense to bring him your problems? Right? Says, you know, pray for everything, right? Why pray to a God that we haven't surrendered our heart to? Why lift our needs to a Lord that we haven't surrendered to and say, God, I give you everything of who I am.